Girl Saints.
Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters, family and friends. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, November the 15th, 2020. Now, I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and I am blessed to be the woman of God of this assembly. But as always, I am joined by my beautiful and anointed family in the persons of Apostle Edwin Holloway, Prophetess Kathleen Holloway, our beautiful speaker of the hour, Evangelist Michelle Scott, hallelujah, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Evangelist Kathy Horton, hallelujah. And then we got some folks that's just faithful. Amen. We got Mother Matthew in the house with us this morning. Glory to God. And we want to welcome all of you from over there at Good Shepherd and just let you know we love you and we're so glad that you're here. Now it is time to get down to the business at hand, and that is praising the Lord. So the first thing we want to do is go to him with a word of prayer. Hallelujah. Yes. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we just come to your throne of grace right now with an attitude of gratitude, Lord God. We have praise on our lips, Father, because you alone are worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Oh, we just thank you, Lord God, for yet another opportunity to come out and worship you in spirit and in truth, oh God. Hallelujah. This is not a show, Lord God, but this is a worship service where you are adored, where you are glorified. Hallelujah. Nothing exalts itself higher than you here, Father God. And we just praise you for that, Lord God. Now we just pray in the name of Jesus that you would pour in to your mighty servants, Lord God. As we pour into your people, Lord, we pray that you will use us to edify, to equip, to encourage, to empower, to impact them. Hallelujah. In a way that they might live a more abundant life in you. And more than anything, Father God, we pray that today would be the day that someone would make you their Lord and their Savior.
Yes.
Now, Lord, we just thank you for every listener, Lord God. Prepare their hearts and their minds to receive. Yes. And, Lord, not only do we want them to receive it, but we want them to keep it and use it for your purpose and glory so that someone else might be saved. We pray it all in the mighty matchless name of Jesus. Amen. And to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can.
Come on, let him know.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can. Give myself away.
What would happen if a generation embraced it? Come on, tell them.
Here I am. Here I am.
Yeah.
give myself to you.
Mom, can we say that as our prayer tonight? My life is not my own.
God, I give myself away so you can use me, Lord. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading, and I will be reading to you from the powerful devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. Today's reading is entitled God's Love Makes You Strong. And it comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. And it says, know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, if you were to thank God for something today, what would it be? For me, it would be thanking God for giving me Jesus. For when I see Jesus on the cross, I see the love of God overcoming everything for me. It causes me to say, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Jesus, bless your holy name, Jesus. Hallelujah. And as we worship and celebrate the love of Jesus in our lives, we will find ourselves changed, and we will see the mighty power of God displayed for us and through us. This was the case in the life of David. His personal times of worship, of being absorbed in God's love for him, changed him from a mere shepherd boy to a lion killer, bear killer, giant killer, and finally a king over Israel. Now, no one on earth, no matter how strong he is, let alone a youth, can come against a lion and pry open his mouth to snatch back his sheep, which the lion has carried away, unless God anointed him to do so. And this was indeed what happened to David, the shepherd boy, who went after the lion, caught it by its beard, struck and killed it, and thus delivered the lamb from its jaws. My friend, no one can truly enjoy living in this world without God's strength in his life. God's favor is his work and relationship. God's protection for him and his family. God's increase in finances and God's health and healing for our bodies. Likewise, no woman can survive emotionally, socially, or physically without God's tender touch, his loving presence, his sweet assurance, and the words of life in times of need. Beloved, as you feed on Jesus' love for you, you will be filled with the fullness of God. Like David, God's anointing will begin to operate powerfully in your life. And when you encounter spiritual lions, even the devil himself, when he comes like a roaring lion against you, your loved ones or your possessions, you will grab hold of his mouth and tear him apart. The thought for the day, feed on Jesus' love for you and be filled with the fullness of the power of God. to tear your spiritual lions apart. May God add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and especially the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy word. Amen, and to God be the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus.
You know what? I've been looking for somebody. Not just anybody, but a special somebody. Come on. Who can get a prayer through? Can anybody out there pray for me without even knowing what I need? Can anybody out there pray for me? The prayers of the righteous. Can anybody out there pray for me without even knowing a whole lot about me? Can anybody pray where the prayer don't cease? The prayers of the righteous.
Pastor J. Moss with the prayers, and we know the prayers of the righteous availeth much, and it is prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. Father God, we just want to thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to just come out and just Bless your holy name. Hallelujah. I am Bishop Shalene Cook, and I'm in the house with my beautiful and anointed Spirit Alive family, and we're so glad that all of you are here. We want to say hello to all of our family and friends from over at Good Shepherd. We're so glad that you're in the house. But right now, we're going to get ready to go to the Lord in prayer with Apostle Zeta Flowers, because here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, we know that prayer changes things. And we're going to pray until something happens. And even when it doesn't look like anything is happening, even when it doesn't feel like something is going to happen, even if God says no, we're going to glorify him all the more, because we still know that he has the power to do it if it is his holy will. So now we're just calling on all of our prayer partners from around the world, from the USA to the UK. We're calling on all our friends in Russia and China too, the Philippines, Indonesia. My brothers and sisters, let us gather together. Let us collectively prepare to go to the Lord, and let us go in a way, hallelujah, that the Lord will be ever so glad to hearken, which means to hear and do, to move on our behalf. So let's clear our minds. Let's forget about ourselves, and let's just prepare to go to the Lord with our very own Apostle Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you, everyone. We're going to go right into prayer. I would like to ask if you would focus on going to the throne of grace, that you would bow your head. Hallelujah. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you, Lord, thanking you and being grateful for who you are. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for watching over us. We thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning and see another day. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Because there were so many that didn't make it through the night last night, but we did, and so we honor you, and we respect you, and we thank you, hallelujah, hallelujah, and we give you, hallelujah, ourselves today, hallelujah, so that you can use us, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you, hallelujah. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you're going to continue to do for us, your children. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. This is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing in it. Hallelujah. In spite of situations, circumstances, and things that are happening all around us. Hallelujah. We honor you on this day. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And Father God, we pray for the country of India today. And Lord, we know of the rising of the COVID-19 in that country and how it has just overtaken so many. And so we lift this country up to you. We ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way. Hallelujah. That you would heal your people, God, in Jesus' name. That you would bless their land in the name of Jesus. That you would cause them and their situation, Lord, to turn to you. That it will be India will be even a greater mission ground. Hallelujah. That many will turn to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That they would turn away from the things that they worship and say and sacrifice for. That they would turn to you, Lord. That you would be their living sacrifice. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Oh, God, we lift up the countries that have been affected by the hurricane recently. Hallelujah. Those countries in Guatemala, Panama, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Honduras, and over into our states as well. North Carolina, Florida, Louisiana, and other states, Lord, that have been affected. We pray your hand of protection upon your people. We pray, Lord, that you will bless them in rebuilding. Hallelujah. More than anything, we pray that they would turn to you, Lord, in this disastrous situation. Hallelujah. Because only you can make a difference. Hallelujah. Only you can turn it around. Only you can save. Only you can heal. And so we pray, Lord, that they will turn to you in their situations, Lord, that they will come to believe you, hallelujah, and to know and to realize that you are our God, hallelujah, and you are the one that we need to look to, that you are the one that can make the difference in their situations, God, and turn their lives around and help them to be transformed, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that they would recognize and know you, hallelujah, as their Savior, the Savior of the world, in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you will, that you would go into the White House, hallelujah, hallelujah, because only you can straighten it out, God. And so we look to you this morning, hallelujah, hallelujah, to utilize, hallelujah, the power, hallelujah. The power, Lord, hallelujah, that comes from you on high. Praise God, hallelujah, hallelujah, that your power, hallelujah, that your spirit will make a difference, hallelujah, even in the White House. We lift up those, Lord, that are new, hallelujah, that are coming in, those that are being appointed, hallelujah, hallelujah, for new offices and so forth, Lord. We pray, hallelujah, that you will get into them in the name of Jesus, that you will change their hearts, their minds, hallelujah, that they will have a desire to make a difference, hallelujah, in America, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Touch, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to move in the hospitals, in the homes of the sick and the shut in, Lord. Hallelujah. Those that cannot help themselves, we pray, Lord, that you will strengthen them, that you will help them, that you will heal them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We come against the premature deaths. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All around us, in our countries. Hallelujah. In our own families. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We lift up those that are grieving today. We ask, Lord, that you will comfort them in their grief. In the name of Jesus, that you will help them through it, Lord. You said that your grace is sufficient, and we know that it is. Hallelujah. Bless them, hallelujah, to feel that grace. Hallelujah. To know that you care. Hallelujah. To know that you are taking care of them. Hallelujah. Through it all. Hallelujah. We pray that you will be in every plan, hallelujah, those that are preparing, hallelujah, for the funerals of their loved ones. We pray that you would help them, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would be with them, hallelujah, as they go through what they need to go through, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. And we just praise you for it, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, hallelujah. And, Lord, we pray that that you will remember those, Lord, that are still suffering, hallelujah, from the COVID-19. And we pray, Lord, that you will help them through it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. We know that not every sickness is unto death. So we pray, Lord, that you will remember them, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that you will heal, hallelujah, that you will move in miraculous ways, Lord. Hallelujah. There are some situations where we need miracles, hallelujah, to take place. And we pray, Lord, that you will move in a miraculous way in these situations in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We lift up the Spirit Alive Ministries this morning. We pray for all of those that are listening in this morning. Hallelujah. We pray for those that are calling in and hallelujah and reaching out, Lord, hallelujah, and desiring to be saved. We pray, Lord, that you will save some today in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, all over the world, hallelujah, in the name,
yes,
of Jesus,
Lord.
We lift up Bishop Shirlene Cook this morning, hallelujah, the founder of Spirit Alive Ministries. We pray for her, hallelujah, Hallelujah. Keep her healthy and well in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, bless her. Bless, continue to bless the ministry in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We lift up our speaker of the hour this morning.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bless
we
her,
lift
God.
Her up, Lord. We pray, hallelujah, that as she comes forth with the message this morning, hallelujah, that you will bless her in delivering that message. Hallelujah.
Yes,
the message, message that we need to hear, God. Hallelujah. Allow your anointing to come through her this morning in Jesus' name. Bless Evangelist Michelle in a
yes,
special way,
Lord.
God, and her family in
yes,
Jesus' name. And we thank you and we
thank
praise
you,
you for the outcome of this day and what you're going to do for each and every one of us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It is now time, the time that we have been waiting for. The mighty woman of God, the woman of the hour. Praise Jesus. This young lady I met a little while back, and, you know, when I first heard her voice, the first thing I said to her was, I'm so blessed to meet you, evangelist. And the phone went silent, and she began to chuckle. But I praise God that today, my dear sister and friend, is indeed Evangelist Michelle Scott, and she is here to bring us a word on this morning. So without further ado, I give you my sister, my friend, hallelujah, and someone I hold very dear to my heart, Evangelist Michelle. Come on in the room.
Thank you, Bishop. Thank you all for tuning in, near and far. Before I start the message, I would like to just have a humble word of prayer. Oh, matchless God of peace, I lift you up and I magnify your most holy and righteous name. Lord God, first I thank you for opening my eyes wide to see yet another day, to get it right today, all those things I didn't get right on yesterday. I thank you for blessing me with the opportunity to address your people with the word. I pray that lives be touched and minds would be changed and impacted, hearts would be impacted, and that their hearts will be mended from years of past pains, and that love would just transcend and fall from heaven, and scales would be removed from their eyes, and their ears would hear what's truly coming from you, Lord. I'm just a vessel. I ask that peace be felt all around the world and your people will come together and know that you are Lord. I ask that you just bless the woman of this assembly, Bishop Cook, and I just thank her so much for being my mentor for the past 4 years. I just bless her, Lord God, and I ask you to bless her. I ask that you bless the words that come off my tongue, Father God. Bless the meditation of my heart. Let your words not come back void, Father God. Just open up and have people to be acceptable of these words, Father God, and receive them with peaceful and receptive hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So first, I just want to say, you know, if you guys ever want to make God laugh, I told you this before, tell him what your plans are. So I, you know, had like a scripture and everything, but just a few minutes ago, God said, no, everything what you're saying is sin. So we're going to just come from Romans 6 and 23. Romans 6 and 23, if you hear pages rustling, because we do open our Bibles here. So Romans 6 and 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we know in life there are many sins. And if I had to tag this, it would be mend, don't condemn. I spoke about this a while when we had something going on at Spirit Alive, and the person that was speaking was so powerful. Forgive me, I forget who it was. And all I could think of was things that I have witnessed myself, you know, in our very own churches, that people, they say they're so holy and they're this and that. And I'm a PK kid, so I've witnessed a lot all of my life. Different religions and all this old stuff. And so it just hurts me that all through my life I've seen all this done by so many different people that's supposed to be of the cloth and whatever you want to call them. And then you find that in your life, a lot of them are the ones who's doing all this, these things. But it brings me to this very powerful story. And a lot of people have their different antidotes and ideas about what Jesus was writing in the dirt when Jesus was writing in the dirt, different people had different ideas of what he was writing. Some thought he was writing one thing, and some thought he was writing another. But I and others believe that Jesus was writing all the sins of the men that brought that woman who they accused of adultery. And but do you notice that he didn't bring the man? They said she was caught in the very act, okay? If she was caught in the very act, none of us are children. If she was caught in the very act, there was somebody there with her. But notice he was not brought with her. When they brought her to Jesus, they wanted something to be done. Now, me personally, I feel this is an act of them condemning her. But they did not condemn the men. We can all assume that he might have held some stature or something in their community. And another thing is that I personally feel they knew so much about this woman, her whereabouts and how to get there. It's like, you know, they personally might have had date books themselves with her. This is just me. And so because they knew so much about her. And if you notice later on in the story, as Jesus kept writing, when he looked up, they were all gone. This is why it led me to believe, and other scholars, higher than myself, that Jesus may have been writing their sins. And when they looked over, they said, oh, no, he got me. So let me move on. And they slowly trailed away. So that's one way that people condemned, because like I said, they were all of different statures in the community, held offices in the synagogue, in churches, and things of that nature. So that just goes to show you, it don't matter how high you're up, you people sin. Sin is just there. It's been around for the beginning of creation. So, but they wanted her stoned to death. And I know sometimes in life, we feel like that. We may have committed a sin or something and somebody finds out about it. And we don't feel that we're worthy of God's love, his grace, or anything. And then because we don't know other sins, they found out about ours and they pass it around, right? But what if the magnifying glass was brought upon theirs? Would they be so apt to put out all of your business if the magnifying glass was brought upon them? And this doesn't just sit at the lower end of just our churches. It's all in government. It's everywhere, all around the world. No state, no country, no city is, exempt from this. Everybody gets a little taste of this being condemned. And so, we as servant leaders, we as just, parents, we all need to be more mindful that when we have, we're servant leaders, we're pastors, bishops, apostles, whatever you are, when you have an assembly, you have to be so very mindful. And not just give positions to people because, oh, you look the part. Because people can look so beautiful on the outside. You really need to give these people, as they used to say, a once over. Because, see, you can fool people some of the time, but you can never fool Jesus. You can look the part and be all dirty and crummy on the inside. But, oh, hallelujah, on Sunday you got your best hat on and you try to put on your best attitude. And my daughter said it perfectly the other day. She said, Mommy, why do people think just because their pastor's their husband is the pastor, they get a free ticket to heaven? Or why do they feel because their wife is the bishop, the man feels he automatically goes to heaven? I say, honey, you know better than that, so don't even worry about it. They have to get it together for themselves. Each and every one of us, even if you are a twin, a triplet, or whatever,
You have to be born alone, and you have to die alone. So we must all alone make a conscious decision. Who shall I serve? Who shall I serve? Oh, I've done things in my life. God will not forgive me. But then you go to church or you go wherever and you give your right hand to the pastor and you give your life to God, right? And then you get into these different cliques and stuff. That's the worst thing you can ever do. What you need to do is sit somewhere by yourself in that church and observe. Don't go rushing to get in a choir or to get on an usher board or to do anything. You need to search, study diligently. That is your life support system. That Bible. Get yourself a study place quietly in your home and study the Word of God, because you don't want people condemning you and you just got there. Another thing that's hurting so many churches, you have to be mindful. If you are the door watch person, you are an usher, stop turning people away before their toes touch the threshold because you can't take the stench. Or she's just coming from the club because you used to do it yourself. You know her ways because they used to be your ways. But because now that you have given your life, you don't even want to give her the opportunity to get the blessing that God gave you. You're condemning this young woman for living the exact same life you used to live. You ain't always wore your dress below your knees. They were hiked up over your hips. Stop trying to act like you always sat in the second row of the church when you know you stayed on the dance floor, the first song that played, and the last one, last call for alcohol. You were there looking for your third and fourth daddy, baby daddy. And stop turning these young men away just because they were dope dealers. Your daddy probably was one, and your mama probably was his down bottom woman. We have to stop with all these rituals and everything in the Bible, my bylaw this and my trilaw that. Because if it ain't working, you know why it's not working? Because your bylaws, what happened was you bypassed God's laws when you wrote them. Half of them, you didn't even, you sat down with your committee, not the church committee. You put them people together yourself. You put some do-wop people there that would do what you wanted them to do, not what God wanted them to do, not what the people of the church. The church is the people's. It's not the bishops. It's not the pastors. It's not the apostles. It's the people. And half of the servant heads don't even go out into the community. It's not just the four walls of that building that you're in. The church is outside. Don't sit inside a building and think you can put a flyer out and you're feeding the community. You're condemning your very own community. You don't get out. The people in the neighborhood don't even know your name. But it's sad to say that they know some of the people inside of your church's name all over this world. But they don't know you. It's sad that when prostitutes, pimps, and these could be your next bishops and ministers and pastors and evangelists, but you won't even give them the same opportunity that God gave you. You're throwing them away just like that woman at the woman that was accused. But look at where we're talking about her today. We're talking about her today. And see, I have this thing called the three P's. The promise, the purpose, and the position. We all have a promise of a great position from God, our Creator. If we just hold out and wait on it, yours isn't mine, and mine isn't yours. Amen? You know, God, before we were even a thought in our mom and dad's being, God knew what we would be, what we would do, the sins we would commit. He knew the day when we walked down that aisle and everything. But we have to go through these steps. You know, that woman, you know, she committed a sin. Who he is without sin, cast the first stone. Anybody that's listening to me right now, you ain't popped the pill, you ain't sipped the drink, you probably got one while you're listening to me now, or it's on the ice, or you laid up with somebody, husband or some wife, or you in your 60s, 70s, and you ain't never said I do, and you're using all different kind of excuses why you're not saying I do. You some pastor's wife, or you some bishop's or lady pastor's husband, and you eyeballing every other woman or everybody else's wife. All of those are sins. Treating people wrong, condemning people instead of mending their broken hearts. It's all sins. All of us have sinned. So how do you have the right to turn these people away from the door? Will your church be ready, servant leader? The ones who have not passed away from COVID, who have not passed away from cancer, liver disease, all these other diseases that are plaguing our world, when God, because only God will say when this is over. You see what's happening to the churches that can't wait. It's just like when Noah was told, those people laughed at him. Oh, look at the drunkard. He's just a drunk. He's stupid. He's silly. It doesn't rain. They filled that first sprinkle. Noah said, get in the boat. Get in the ark. But when they start filling, them drops of rain come down. Oh, my God. Oh, my God and Savior. They was banging on that door. Noah said, No. I'm crazy. Remember, I'm the drunkard. That water started rising up, broke away those stilts that was holding that. All Noah and them could hear was them people wailing and crying. Can you imagine all the churches here, just here in the Bay Area? I'm in California. You guys are all over the world, so you just have to put on your thinking cap and close your eyes wherever you are right now. I beg of you to just close your eyes, servant leaders. Close your eyes, bishops. Close your eyes, pastors all around the world. And just imagine your church, and you have some people inside, and you know these people. They've been with you for years. They're the founders and the pillars of the church, the mothers, the fathers, the deacons, everybody. They're there outside, and they didn't make it on time. Is it because you allowed the sin to go on in your church? Is it a lie? Did you stuck your head in the sand? You knew your wife wasn't right. Wife, you knew your husband wasn't right. Lady that's laying up, you know you shouldn't have did it. Man that's laying up, you know you shouldn't have did it. The ones that's passing drugs inside the church, on the parking lot, meeting up in hotels, you know what your sin is. You know better than me, just like I know what my sins are. Me and God talk about them. Everybody, you know what your sins are. But see, it's time for these microwave praises to stop. It's time for playing church to stop. Oh, yes, yeah, some things are getting better. But if you guys think for one single solitary second that this is over, it ain't over. It's just getting started. And I'm telling you, servant leaders, you better shake, rattle, and roll the members that you have left. Stop pretending. Time has long been wound up. You see, your mothers are going away. Your fathers are going away. Your best friends are going away. Someday your ticket going to be called. Will you be ready? You took the charge to be the pastor of that church or the bishop or whatever of those churches. Those souls rest on you. So if you're not teaching them and they're not laying there learning the word, God's word, not your word, God's rules and his laws, not your rules, come on now. It's not about you. When you first get in the church, you had all that zest and zeal. You were young and spunky. You had it all down what you were going to do. Then you saw this other preacher in all these glitz and glam, and you won it. But you made God a promise, and you made the people of these churches all over the world a promise. Well, now I want to be like this pastor on TV. I want to be like that. That's not the promise you made to God when you sat and you said, God, if you give me this, I will do your people right. I wasn't there when you was making that promise to God. You made that promise to God, man or woman. You made that promise to God. God will not be mocked. You do not promise God something and he's not going to get that return. If you deposit it into his bank, he's going to get it back out. Do not make our God fake empty promises. Don't hurt these people. Don't condemn these people that come to your church. Don't be a part of it. When you see somebody in your church is on a journey to hurting people, telling people if you don't like it, get out. Oh, trust me, they'll get out. And you'll be preaching to that one loud mouth. And if I'm stepping on some toes and rolling down some bowling alleys, get hit. I want you to. Because church hurt is the worst hurt in the world. Young people, don't you let these pastors and whatever, these servant leaders tell you that God ain't called you. Only you were there and you felt the knock at your heart. And if a pastor or whoever servant leader and over you, if they really knew about your life, if they really took time and they had real men and women in their congregation that sat down and talked to you about the problems and the issues that are going on in your teen life. See, I was a youth minister long ago. My son was 9 years old when he preached and taught his first class of nothing but men 35 and older, 9 years old. So you can't tell me, okay, what a child cannot do. You instill it in your kids. And if you young people in the chat, you saying that you know, your pastor telling you this and they telling you, well, oh, no, you got to wait and you got to wait and you got to wait. What you going to wait, your whole life? And then be like a pastor friend of my husband. He died waiting. But you know something? When God called him and he answered the call, he was already ordained. He knows every hair on our head. He knows every child that confesses. He knows every child that repents. You ain't no devil in hell gonna walk over the Jesus in you. Don't you let it happen.
Amen.
Claim your space. Claim your space, children. Claim your space, young people. This COVID ain't going nowhere till God take his hand off of it. You hear me? Hear the words coming out of my mouth. Hear my heart. I am very transparent, and I love you all with every fiber of my being. That is one thing about me. If I don't know it, I'm going to get the answer for you, and I'll come back on another day. But I'm going to speak the word. And if it hurts you, I'm sorry. But the truth hurts sometimes. We got to stop living in these fantasy worlds and hanging on every word a man or a woman say in the pulpit. Open that Bible and dust off some of that dirt and read it for yourself. Because if you don't open that Bible for yourself, he can get up there like a snake and just snake you out of the world and have you mortgaging your houses and selling your cars and you walk in the church and they're flying in Lear jets and everything else. Stop being blind, people of God. Wake up.
Amen.
Don't let your family go hungry and they eating on lobster every day. And you got to get a food basket. Stop watching these ushers and deacons usher people out of the house when they're the church of God, when they're supposed to be ushering them in, and you're wondering why your church is empty. Nobody can turn a big church into a small church in 2 days. Mark my word. When God say, open the door, will your church be ready? Will you have programs implemented to help these young folks? Will you have programs and people who are spiritually equipped to teach them, and not to just teach the young people, but to spiritually equip these elders, the ones who are losing their vision? You don't even come visit them. You don't help them to read the Bible. Get them Braille Bibles. The ones who can't see, But when they were seeing you, you would stand over them to make sure they're signing that check, right? And you're wondering why people aren't sending their tithes to you. People send their money where they're getting fed and not misled.
Well,
check the stats. People will send their money where they're getting fed and not misled. So if you're wondering where your money going to, it's going to where they're getting fed and not misled. Ouch.
Well, ouch.
Ouch. People want to be fed. People are running around. Their babies are dying. Babies are dying all around this world. Mothers are wailing. Fathers are wailing. Mothers aren't the only ones who cry out when the baby passes away. Okay? The father's hurt too, but people forget about the father. But like I said, we have the promise, the purpose, and the position. Okay? And we all get a promise from God. Amen? And the second one is powerful. It's our purpose, which is lodged between the promise. And it oftentimes, you know, it's all right. There's no need for the worry, because sometimes God himself, he designs it that way, you know, for your purpose to be smashed in between your promise and your position. You know, yours is different from mine, and mine is different from you, but you must maintain. We must always maintain our position and hold it with sincerity and no wavering due to previous afflictions with church cliques and other worldly conflicts. So when this happens, don't get associated with people that can just make you further get away from your purpose. You know, you just have to hang on in there, okay, and be just mindful of hanging around the wrong people, because they'll be with you as long as you stay in the same evil box with them. But as soon as you start finding out what your purpose is, that's when they start wanting to move away from you, okay? And in churches and other places of worship, you know, people, they like to judge you. I mean, it's a stomping ground for judging, and it's wrong. You know, yeah, like I said, they sit there and they talk about your clothes, but are they offering you clothes? Are they calling you and saying, hey, you know, you look like you might be able to fit this or whatever. You know, I have some things that I would love to share. You know, would you want this or would you not want this? And, you know, I've had it done to me. You know, I'm like, if I can fit it, hey, come on, bring it. You know, if I can't, you know, I'll tell them of someone else that might be able to be blessed with that, you know, because you don't want to just let it go to waste, you know. And when we find out what our purpose is, then if we do have a good mentor, then we want that person to pour into us. We don't want to find out what our purpose is and we share it with them and then they just like, okay, and push us to the side. Because if they are truly a God-sent servant leader, then they're going to be there for you. They're going to want to pour into you. They're going to be excited, you know. They're going to be excited. Yeah. All the people that I mentor, young and old, I am so excited that God is moving in their life. You know, I mean, I'm so excited for all the authors and stuff that are moving and doing what God has led them to do. I'm just to be a part of it, just to say, I knew you when. You know what I'm saying? And yes, a lot of them have surpassed me. I got a lot going on, but that doesn't take away from my joy for them. We got to stop with this. You know, people talk about the Jezebel spirit. Oh, my God, yes, it is real, people. That Jezebel spirit, and once it get in your church, my Lord and my God, it's going to take Jesus, all of the angels. You can't just say get out, get out. Jezebel, she bring her luggage, and she is there. And Jezebel ain't just a woman, so don't get it. No, no, no. Jezebel a man too, okay? And when she get her, or he get them claws down into the servant leader, and they get up to preaching that craziness and start making you doubt everything that you have ever learned, and they get into them new congregants, they get into them new people that have just got baptized, you can forget it. Because it's going to take every old saint, the ancestors and everybody, to get that full Jezebel spirit out. Jealousy is real. Greed is real. We are all in this to save souls, right? So if we're in this to save souls, do you know the world is so big? Praise God for you, Indonesia. We're glad we have you now. Bishop announced it a couple of weeks ago. And I'm here to tell you, we thank you for all of you. You guys have nobody to be jealous of. All children of God. Every last one of us, you reach out, you touch somebody. You see somebody in need, if you got it, you give it to them. If you don't have it, you just pray for them. Sometimes all we can do is pray. And that's okay. God knows the desires of each of our hearts. He knows when we have it to give, and he knows when we don't have it to give. He knows what we are capable of doing. Now, when you get in position, get yourself ready. Some people can't get ready, but you get ready in God, okay? Get your church people ready. Get your ministers ready. Get your you know, everything situated, your stipulations. Get right people on the right job and pray for them. Get restoration back into your church. You know, fast in everything, okay? And never, ever turn your back on your people, okay? Just make sure before you even think about opening your doors that you have them to understand we're here to mend the people of God, not to condemn them. Their past is not what they're going to be in the future. I pray that something was said that could help you to uphold God's laws, and that could help you when God releases this in his time, not ours, and that could just bring your churches into a better understanding that we're all children of God, no matter what our background was. I love you all. Thank you, Bishop, and God bless.
Hallelujah and glory to God. We should be mending and not condemning. That was a powerful message. I want to thank you for it. And everybody up in here should be shouting and wanting to touch and agree today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's exactly what we're going to give you an opportunity to do. Right now, if you're in the room, there's a lot of us in here today. I mean, a lot of us. So if you're in here, I need you to push your one. I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. And I need you to be brief because I'd like to get as many people in as possible. Amen. We're going to start with Mother Matty. Amen. Mother Matty, good morning and God bless you, ma'am.
Good morning and God bless you too, ma'am. God bless all of you and God bless you too, Evangelist Michelle Scott. I got to say that was a very powerful, powerful, powerful message, powerful sermon.
Yes.
It is so true. Well, people need to stop playing with God and stop playing church and get real with God and get real in church, because I know when you're sincere with God, God will be sincere with you, and God bless you, Bishop Cook. God bless you, Evangelist Michelle Scott. It was a powerful message. I hope and pray that people learn from this. I hope they learn from this, because people need to open their ears and hear. People need to learn from this. That's a wonderful, powerful message. God bless all of you.
God bless you too, Mother. God bless you, Mother Matthew. We love you.
True with them.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
True with them. True with them.
We do have to really lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ and help train them up. And you do get really excited when you pour into people and you can hear yourself come out in their messages. You can hear what you taught being mirrored back at you. And it's beautiful because, you know, it just continues to get sharper and clearer and better and better and better. So God is just good. It was a beautiful message. Come on, folks of God. We're going to get on up in here. With, I know my sister's up in here, Evangelist Kathy. Come on in the room. I know you got a shout of praise in your on your lips. Amen.
God bless you. God bless the message, and God bless
yes.
the messenger. She, that, you know what? She told it like it is. I mean, it was just beautiful. It was just, everything she said was according to the word of God. Sister, amen and amen. I want to say this one thing.
Amen.
Don't worry about her. I want to say one thing. Don't worry about hurting people. God gave me this one time. One of my friends had a little boy, and he was about to run across the street, and a Brinks truck was coming, and she had to drop her groceries and grab her son to keep from that Brinks truck from running over her son. He was 4 years old. She snatched him so hard, saints, she pulled his shoulder out of socket. But you know what the Lord told me? He said, but she saved his life. She may
yes.
have hurt
Amen.
Saved his life. You know
Amen.
What? You may have to hurt people, but you're saving somebody's
save
life.
Save their life. Save their soul.
Thank you.
Okay? Don't compromise
yes.
the word. If when you're right, you're just right. There's a standard where saints we're supposed to live by, and my sister, you laid it down and you made it plain. God bless you, darling. You be blessed.
Amen.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister
Amen.
Kathy. I love Evangelist Kathy. You know, we come out in full force and we support one another
Amen.
Here. We love each other because we just feel like the power and our unity when we touch and agree. It's just a beautiful thing to watch in action. I'm going to go up to the Holloway camp right now, praise God, to Apostle and Prophetess. Come on in the room. I know you both have a praise this morning.
God bless you all. I really enjoyed the word today and want to encourage Evangelist Michelle. Just keep bringing it out of your heart to the people of God. This is really helpful. It's a yoke-destroying message. And we just thank God for that word. And here's the powerful.
Praise God. We thank
God
for the word this morning. It was a powerful, packed word. It was something that the Lord had placed on my heart that we got to get it right. We got to get the church right. We got to get back to our order, God's order, divine order.
Mm-hmm.
We should quote the word. We should quote the word. And they're letting folks come to church. The usher sitting standing back by the door. He got alcohol on his breath, and the deacon
mm-hmm.
he's got a child by the sister that's sitting on the back row, and we ain't saying nothing about it.
Amen.
We got to get it right. We got to get this thing right.
Amen.
We got to turn things around. We can't do it like we used to do. It's not about
Amen.
It's not about tradition. It's not about custom. But it's about God's word. Because, see, we're going to have to stand. Whoever we are, God has given us a mandate. The blood will be on our hands. If we don't,
That's
if
right.
we don't teach it right, we don't do it right. So we thank God for the word this morning.
Amen.
Thank you.
It was power packed. So
yes.
We
not only
God
does God
want to,
amen. God is looking for authenticity. And, you know, he wants us to do his will with our own personality, in our own self, within our own knowledge. And that's where people get it twisted. She said early in her message, you know, people look over here at this pastor and they want to sound like them. They want to come across like them. But you need to understand, you need to sit still and let God use you in who you are. Because
sometimes you only
get one shot at these people to bring them to Christ.
And while you're trying to be, you know, Joyce Meyer, or you're trying to be T.D. Jakes, they just need you to be you and tell them about what God has done in your life. They don't need the high powerful preacher. They don't need the televangelist. They can turn on the TV and see that. They just need you to be real. They just need you to be you, because that's what makes the word the living word. We're all living the word, but we all have our own unique personalities and experiences, and we need to know our lane, and we need to roll with it the way God gives it to each and every one of us. Amen? Amen. Now, we're going to go to Pastor Jeffrey. Hallelujah. Come on in the room, my brother, because you know what she did the thing there this morning. I know you over there beaming. That's your wife. Hallelujah.
Hey.
Come on in the room, bro. Go on. I can see you cheating way over here.
All I can say is, hey. Man,
I know. Wasn't that good?
I don't even know what else to say, but that was a powerful.
I agree with what she said.
Oh yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I just want to say that God used you in a mighty powerful way. You brought that word like God called you to, and everything was on point. I'm so proud of how God was using you at this point, and just continue to allow him to use you in that way. Because that was powerful. I'm still like, you know, I don't want to say too much, because I know this. I'm gonna let it go there. But I'm just going to say, God bless you, and I love you.
Yes, amen. Anybody
amen.
Else?
I love you, too. Thank you.
You still have time, hallelujah, to put your praise on it, because the sister brought the word this morning. Like I said, as she brought the word, I'm going to get to you, Apostle Zeta. No, I haven't forgotten you. But as she was preaching, I was just sitting and thinking about all the conversations that she and I had. And the one thing about it is, we're very passionate about servant leaders being right, because if the head of the church isn't right, then how can you expect the people to be right? You know, we must live above reproach. I tell people, holiness is still in the Bible. Righteousness is still in the Bible. So we have to, you know, live like we remember that and we know that, because we cannot be confusing God's people. He will not be pleased with us. So as I scroll, well, I guess, Apostle Zeta, it is time for you to come on in the room and put the bow on the package.
Praise the Lord. As everyone would say, that was a powerful message, and it was a very direct message. It came forth with boldness, and I appreciated that message. It really spoke to those that really need to hear it. Early in her message, she was saying, mentioned the fact that and this was really to leaders to be mindful of you know, giving positions, because all positions come from God, and so we need to be careful. Just because someone says that this is what I feel, you know, we really have to know that it's really coming from God.
Oh, God.
That we don't
amen.
You know, position somebody too prematurely. I've seen it happen.
Right.
It's happened in my own ministry. I saw it happen, and it was just too soon, and the person went really crazy with just the taking over and doing things that they were not even prepared to do. So we have to really be careful. She mentioned, you know, really getting into our word to really studying, and that's for everybody. That's for the unbeliever. That's for everybody. And one of the things that I really took stock of that she said she mentioned the Bible as being our life support. And it is our life support because everything is in it that we could possibly need is in there. And if we get into the Word and really, really study and know God's Word, then that Word is down on the inside of us. And when we're in places where we may not even have our Bible, the Word of God will surface at the time that it should. You know, whether we have our Bible in our purse or whatever, if the Word is in you, it's going to come up. It's going to surface at the time that we need to use it. She mentioned that the family of God needs to wake up.
Yeah.
You know, and that is true. Wake up to who he really is. Wake up to what he has given us to do. Wake up to the Word, the standards that he has set before us. Be willing to be obedient to him and not lean toward our own understanding. She said also that in her message, there's no room for jealousy, and there is not.
No.
There is not. Everyone that God has appointed is
different.
Place.
They have a
you
place.
Know, and so there is no room for it. Hallelujah in the Lord. Praise God. And she talked about mending and not condemning a person. Well, you know, we can mend by just being straightforward and giving people the Word just like it is. You know, we don't have to water it down to help them, but true mending is giving people God's true Word, you know, standing
Amen.
On the truth, helping them to stand on the truth, knowing that they can change. Hallelujah. By the Word of God. It's the Word of God that changes us. Hallelujah. So the message was powerful, the message was great, and the message was touching. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And she spoke it like it was. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 I highly commend her.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Very good job. Wonderful job. Amen. Hallelujah. We're so glad. And that's the whole point. If the Lord sends servant leaders to your vineyard, you know, use them, you know. I'm very secure with who I am and what I do, and I've been doing it for a long time, and I just want God to be glorified. I just want souls to be saved.
Amen.
I just want people's lives to be transformed, and I don't have to do it by myself. The Word of God says we're one body in Christ. So, you know, I'm of a mindset that, you know, when you know who you are, you don't have to try to be anything. You just stand
Amen.
On what God has given you to do. You do it the way he tells you to do. And you don't compromise. And you just praise him in all things at all times. So we have had a hallelujah good time here today. We are going to continue to pray for the leaders of this country and of this world. We are going to continue to pray for the new converts all over this world.
Yes.
We're just praying that, you know, that you would study to show yourselves approved. We are praying that you would know and understand, begin to learn the Word by the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can find your rightful position and that you will be able to do all things decently and in order with that which is pleasing unto the Lord for your life. Hallelujah. So we just pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week and that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. You're welcome to join us here tomorrow for Taking It to the Street. We have a beautiful guest returning in the person of First Lady Yvetta Franklin Thomas, and she's going to bring another timely message. So
praise God.
Hallelujah. So we just thank God for all that we have heard on today. Father God, we just want to come thanking you and praising you for everything that our ears heard today. We just thank you for the moving of your Holy Spirit, Father God. We just pray right now in the name of Jesus that we would put this word to work, and make it meaningful and active in our lives on a daily basis, Lord. Let us be the catalyst, Lord, to mend bridges. Let us be the catalyst, Lord God, that shows your love. Let us be the catalyst,
Lord, Father, Jesus,
God, that points men to you and not unto ourselves. Lord God, I just thank you for the messenger, and I thank you for the message. I thank you for each and every servant leader here at Spirit Alive. I thank you for each and every person that tuned in to listen this morning. I pray that you bless them, oh God, and bless their households indeed. I pray, Father God, that you, Lord God, would go before them in all that they must do, because I know that you sit high and you look low, and you know all about us, Lord God. Nothing surprises you. Nothing catches you off guard. So I just pray, Lord God, that you would be a rewarder of them who are faithful, Lord God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will continue, Lord God, to do a work in us so that we truly are your righteousness. And we ask it all in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Amen and amen. This is the edition of for another heartfelt edition of the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. We had a wonderful message from Evangelist Michelle Scott. And then we heard from the mighty servants of God here at Spirit Alive, and some of our family that comes over to support and visit. And, you know, even though you didn't say anything today, we're just glad that you are all in here listening. And we pray that one day, hallelujah, maybe the Spirit will hit you. And you, too, will add your praise to the sanctuary. Hallelujah. But in the meantime and in between time, know that we are so glad that you were here. We do love you, and we want to see you grow up in Christ and be all that he wants you to be. So
on behalf
of the entire Spirit Alive family, it is our fervent prayer that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And that you be you transformed. You are dismissed. God bless you and go in peace. I sure do love you, everybody. Thank you, everyone.
God bless you.
We love
you.
I love you. Thank you.
Amen. Don't condemn.
That was wonderful. Wonderful.
Amen. That was wonderful. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm.